Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
about. I know just like that, you can turn it out right. You never lost a battle, you never won a war. But one thing for sure, you're down by law. Hey, Street DJ,
yes,
you so nasty. Come on, show the whole entire world what you can do. Hey, DJ, get funky.
It's the world and Supreme Team Show.
That's James Brown. I feel good. Man.
Hey. I'm getting off to a slow start today, people, but forgive me. I want to welcome everybody to the Shake and Bake Grudge Talk Show. Man, we only got a couple more days left for this 2021, people. It's counting down. Won't be long for 22 will be here. And what you going to do for 22? Ooh, you gonna get your car together, Shake and Bake? Trust me, I am working on it, man. Really, Shake and Bake? Man, you don't know. You just don't know what I'm doing. I got a lot of irons in the fire, and I'm cutting at them every day. Okay, Shake and Bake? All right, so we're gonna be waiting on Shake and Bake to get his car together, y'all. So don't be surprised if you see something with some heat in the pipes this year. It may be the street car or the race car, one of the two. I'm going to surprise you. I ain't going to tell you nothing. But anyway, with that being said, Detroit is something else right now. I'm going to make somebody's back freeze every time I talk about this weather we got here, man. It's a trip. Right now, we don't have no snow on the ground. It's warm. It's supposed to be warm for the next 3-4 days. So I'm going to take it because I get a chance to get some work done, and I got a lot of work outside I need to do, too. That being said, the weather's here is decent. It's not hot. It's a little cold. You got to have a coat on, but we don't have no snow. Now, as far as the weather in the south, oh, it's excellent. You know, today, or this weekend, today being the last day of the Baldy's race in Florida, Orlando, Florida, man, they've been doing some serious racing down there. I've been seeing some live feed where some people been getting their butt whooped, been losing a lot of money, and somebody's been winning. Man, y'all should have seen some of the live feeds. Good God Almighty. They was getting it on down there. And, we're gonna also change our subject. We're going to add to our subject today, and we're going to always talk about safety because something happened down there. It's all about what we talk about on these shows. Poor. If they don't just keep safety in mind, we're going to end up losing a good thing. So if y'all haven't been to Orlando, Florida, try to go before they discontinue it. Because somebody got hurt, sure enough. So if you don't plan on going next year, try to go sometime soon. It is a nice, man, it's races everywhere. Cars everywhere. I mean, people everywhere. And when you get a situation like that, there's some people that don't practice safety. But anyway, not spoiling on their parade. They had a nice time. Today is their last day, and they'll be packing up trying to get up out of there. I usually stay until Monday or Tuesday and enjoy the rest of the weekend. I don't come rushing right back. But it's fun. It's nice. Y'all should go. Check it out. It's a real good event. It's the Super Bowl of all races. Everybody all across the country ends up there and try to get some races going on. And, man, you should have seen the money floating at all 3-4 days. But anyway, we're going to get on with the show. We've got a topic today. Brother Unknown came up with another good one. And I'm going to announce it a little later when everything gets to jumping. But we might as well go on and get this show stop, drop, and let it roll. I'm going to go ahead and open up some mics. No, first and foremost, we got to give back to God at all times. And people, y'all know how I do it. I got to let the Lord know how much I appreciate him and thank him for helping me, because if I could tell you what Shake and Bake go through on a day-to-day basis, he saved my life just last week. Yeah, you don't know exactly what that means, but he was there for me. And when he's there for you and he bail you out of some stuff, people, give thanks to the Almighty, the Creator, the Maker, the number one, God himself. I don't know what you call him, but whatever you call him, give him his praises, because I'm telling you, he can save a lot of people. And some of the incidents that happened down south at the race, still alive, sister. All right. With that being said, I guess we can go on and get things rolling. My first person got their hand up is Brother Corey. What's going on, Brother Corey? Oh, shucks.
Yo.
Just come in. Blog Talk be real slow about when I open up people's mic. Now, it's still hovering. And you already opened up your mic already. I mean, I already opened up your mic, but it's still hovering. What's up, Corey? Man. How you doing?
You got it. What's man, good, Corey, man? What's...
Corey, this time we normally be down in Orlando, still at the track.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it. I was sick about it, but hey, live fight another day.
Yeah, what you say? You sick about it, huh?
Really?
Yeah, Corey. Me and you usually be right there in the midst of everything.
Right, man. I seen people on that video you ain't seen in years.
I'm no, man. I'm like, God damn. It's one guy from Florida. I can't even think of his name. I met him years ago, and I couldn't think of his name. I'm like, who is that in the background? I know that somewhere, and I met him in Florida. And I couldn't think of his name. I'm going to look through my phone and see if I can find his number, because I got some people listed in different states. Good God Almighty, Corey.
We definitely missed a good one, huh?
Yeah. We'll be back to battle again.
Oh, yeah. 2022, big and better.
Yeah, I ain't going to fuss about it, Corey, because if I go to rushing and everything, then what? I'm going to mess up and look like Boo Boo the Fool.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. That's true.
Okay. So you been all right, though, Mike?
Yeah, I'm good. Stay out the way, man.
Hey, I just bought a car. A little hoopty, wasn't but a couple $100 car. I'm going to try to put it together and flip it for New Year's. Shoot.
Right.
I don't know. We'll see how it work out. If I can fix it and get it back to going pretty reasonable, I'll keep it. If not, that sucker going across the scale. Crush. what you laughing at? I'll send that sucker across the scale in a heartbeat.
I know you would.
Hell yeah. If I see some potentials in it, I'll keep it. But if not, bye-bye. I'll send it to that graveyard in the sky.
I hear that.
All right. Hold on one second. I got some more hands up. 301, Brother Unknown, what's up with you,
yes,
player?
Sir. Yes, sir. How y'all guys doing, man? Thank God, you know, we're back above ground on another Sunday evening. And what I got to say to people, as I say always, man, I tell you, we work too hard to sit there and lose, like a lot of us lose or go through some of the little tiny crazy things that we go through. I mean, we got to start understanding that, I'm telling you, there's so much frustration and stuff going on this earth. So you got to be really mindful and careful, you know, of what you say to people and how you react around people. Because if you don't, man, I'm telling you, it's on at any second, and you're going to wind up taking the worst loss you ever had in your whole life if you stay alive, or you don't wind up in the jail cell. Well, anyway, I'm going to go ahead and give it back to you. I'm not thinking about that.
Yeah, you're right, man.
What's up, Arno?
How you doing? How you doing, Corey?
I'm good. Go ahead, Shaq. I just want to say something to him.
Okay. Yeah, you're right, man, because we can camp up out of here any day, any time. We losing a lot of people. We had a death. One of our race buddies, nephew from Chicago. Was it he lost his sister, Corey?
I think it was his sister. I'm not sure.
I think I seen on the Facebook where somebody said he lost his sister. I called him early today to have him come on. We'd do a memorial service for him, but he ain't called me back. I don't know if he's down in Orlando or is he back here or he in Chicago. I don't know if he even went. But whenever you do call back, we'll give our condolences. Hate for somebody to lose somebody close to them in their, you know, and their family. So, man. But you better stay close to your family and hold them and tell them you love them and cherish them as much as you can while they're here, because you never know. God might take them away from them. They're his children. He might take them away from them.
You know what's sad, Shake? You know, a lot of times, you know, all of us, we be out here doing stuff. We be out here doing stuff, and it's not that we don't care, but we got a lot of people that's in love with us and that really care about us. And so we be hurting a lot of people, and ourselves, we don't even pay that stuff in the mind until it gets right at our doorstep. So, you know, it's kind of sad the way where we live, you know. You know, you hurt a lot of people.
You're absolutely right. Unknown, because we have people, loved ones, right up on our nose, and we don't even take our time to tell them how much we care. We be too busy. We just like bumblebees. We just too busy.
Yeah, we're getting that flow. You know, don't pay nothing no mind until something get right at the doorstep or something happens.
Yeah. You're right, man. You're right.
Mm-hmm. I be paying a lot of attention, man. The big picture, look right at the big picture at a lot of things. And I ain't perfect, no better than nobody else. But, I mean, you got to know when to roll and know when to fold. Sometimes you got to back up. You got to get back. Everything is not good to be in, you know. You got to back up sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pay attention.
Pay attention. Let me get my California cruiser in here. Brother Teo. Teo, your mic is open.
What's going on, everybody?
How you doing, bro?
How you doing, Teo?
Freezing.
Man.
Is it 60 degrees?
I sat in the refrigerator just to get warm. How's that?
is this 60 degrees out there, Teo?
Oh, no. It's way below 60. I didn't even know there were numbers that low in 10 degrees. It's cold.
What?
The kind of weather we're having right now is when you step outside, you hear voices, get your ass back in the house. That's how cold it is. Okay.
Dad, that's the mama to be telling you. You better go on back. You better go on back.
I don't know how my mom lived in St. Louis for all them years, man. I just pass on that.
So what's with y'all's weather? Y'all been that bad? Y'all getting punished over there?
You know what? I think Corey's got something to do with it, man. That's what I think.
I told y'all I was going to get you.
Oh,
nah.
Going on Corey, you ain't supposed to let the cat out the bag, man. You supposed to let it freeze a little bit more and then tell him what's up.
Yeah.
You know, over when you cross the border between California into Nevada, going like the Vegas, they have like,
uh-huh.
I don't know, it might be like a mile. It's just got all these mirrors for, you know, for solar.
Uh-huh.
I think Corey hacked into their system and turned the mirrors in a different direction because we ain't getting no heat.
No. I tell you, I'm about to
hit that button right now. You'll be out in the next couple of days.
He got his finger on that weather break. Hey, Corey,
oh,
did your boy George go down to Florida?
No.
No.
Oh, okay. No, he ain't make it.
Man, we gonna wait and see if we can get some race reports from Florida, because, man, I still want to know how many people got hurt. I seen that one lady they had to put in the EMS. She had on a dress, and she got hit tail. Did you see the video tail? Oh, no?
No, I didn't.
No.
Man. I guess somebody must have left or dropped a pair of channel locks on the ground, and the guy rolled over him, did a burnout, and it threw it out and hit the girl on her leg, and, I mean, she was bleeding like a fat rat. And they had the EMS came out there and bandaged her up and put in the EMS truck. Then I heard somebody else got. Well, somebody did a burnout, and the car went sideways, and the pipes off the side hit a guy. I don't know what went down, man. But we'll get some more race reports and see what happened. But down in Orlando, it was a lot of racing, a lot of people. But that starting line, it was a chaos, man. There was people everywhere, and when they started getting hurt. Look for the track owners to start doing something about it.
Man, it was ridiculous, dog. That starting line was ridiculous.
You ain't lying. Hey, you see when the big guy was directing, what was it, Trigger Man to come through? And dude, he damn near had to step back out the way. Trigger Man wouldn't hit him. I think that was Trigger Man. But when they was doing the burnout, man, and it looked like a tunnel. Well, nothing but people on the side.
Dude, you can barely
do
a burnout.
Right.
I'm going to tell you this, Shane. Right now, Fontana, where we used to race at recently.
You say Fontana?
They just shut the – Fontana, yeah. Just shut their doors.
Montana
and they
Fontana?
Got nothing but – Fontana, Fontucky, the racetrack out here.
It's in California?
It's in Fontana.
I mean, where's Fontana? I never heard
Fontana,
of Fontana.
Fontana, California. It's where the NASCAR track is.
Oh, okay. I don't know nothing about no NASCAR, but go ahead.
They got all Amazon trucks all in the lot, and no more drag racing for us.
Huh?
Gone. Another track in California, gone.
Oh, man. They sold the track to Amazon?
Well, Amazon comes in with more money. So if they rent the place and rent the property to store their stuff, then, you know, it brings in a lot more money than a track does.
Oh, wait.
So, you know, it's all about the mighty dollar. You know, it's when it comes down to that. So what happens out here in California, street races get more streetable, and it becomes unsafe. So, you know, this is – don't want people to get mad or they start hearing street racing in their neighborhood around 3, 4 o'clock in the morning because, you know what, don't care. That's what
yeah,
I have, dude.
Ain't nobody got
don't,
nowhere to go.
Don't care. You want to keep taking stuff away, established tracks away from us. Full quarter mile track, NHRA sanctioned, and that's it. Swipe of a pin signature, done.
Now, who was the owner of that track?
I don't know who the owner of the track is.
Well,
I hope he burns in hell.
Believe me, he was in it just for the money. Didn't give a care about the fans or the races.
Oh,
and
no,
he
no,
see,
no.
He see money, so he went that route.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. And, you know, it's like you can't blame NHRA. You can't blame AAA because, you know, even though AAA was the big sponsor of it, of the, you know, the track and everything, you can't put it on them.
Uh-huh.
They don't have the control over it, Shake. You know, they don't have a say whether for somebody to do, you know.
No, you saying AAA? AAA don't have no say on it.
No, AAA don't. NHRA doesn't. They don't have any. They can't tell somebody what to do with their property. You know, so you know it's just they're going bye-bye out here. The streets, well, the streets will get busier.
Uh-huh.
And you know, every time someone's killed in a car accident, that the news says it's street racing, and you know, we know what street racing is. But if some 17-year-old kid is driving his mom's minivan, and another kid's driving his mom's station wagon, and they're going from light to light, that's not street racing. Those are just two knuckleheads.
All right.
But they want to lump it on street racing. So when somebody dies, I send a letter to our councilman and our mayor saying this blood is on your head. This person died because of you. They want to point fingers at the street racers. Well, I point the finger back to the bureaucrats who put these dumb fucking laws. And they won't open up tracks that are already there. And not letting them be used. Now, no one's asking to build a track out here. They're already there. So why are you taking them away? And, you know, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but you guys ever see the movie called Hollywood Nights? The movie done in 1980? There was a car in there, a yellow 57 Chevy. He took his big block supercharged engine out, and he turned it into an electric car.
Uh-huh.
And people who had the name of the car was called Project X, and I saw on one of the sites where people were burning their Project X jerseys. Shirts and sweatshirts and stuff, because this dude went that electric route. I just started laughing. I'm like, yeah, you know, it's getting bad out here.
Hey, but think about something. You just hit on something. Back in the day when racing first came out, we're gonna start with Richard Petty. You know, Richard Petty was out there racing. He was doing the circle stuff and whatever. Turbos wasn't even heard of then. It was just naturally aspirated. Some high-tech gas somebody might put in it. That's about it. Then years later.
Or supercharger.
Years later, here comes the turbo invading us. Now here comes the electric car invading us. When is enough enough, man? Can we just have the old school racing gasoline engine and nothing else.
It's all about the dollar, the almighty dollar.
Yep, somebody's going to come in with this and put electric on it. What, electric going to beat the turbos and the nitrous cars and everybody else going, I'm going to get me an electric car. I'm going to get me an electric car. Yeah, okay. So it looks like we're going to end up breaking our racing off into a different classification. Okay, we went from class cars, bracket racing, grudge racing, no prep, electric. Ooh, I hate to even say the word, electric racing. I don't even know how that even fit.
Well, you know, racing, I mean, you know,
I guess they're going to have them little plug-ins like they got at Home Depot where you can plug your electric race car up at the starting line, huh? Can y'all see them things at the racetrack?
Well, let me ask you a quick question, Jake.
Hold on.
Here's a question for you, Jake. You go to these charging stations. You go to these charging stations to plug your car in, right?
Yeah.
Well, where's that charging station? Where's it getting its power to charge your car?
From the power line.
No, it gets it from a diesel generator.
Not all of them.
No, not all of them. But the ones out here do.
Yeah.
The ones down at work do. They have a huge-ass generator that runs on diesel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what charges up the batteries too. And then after you charge them, and that depletes, then the diesel motor comes on and charges that up. So I don't know how they're going to be without electric. I mean, what's going to be their source in generating power?
What you mean? You lost me.
Well, how are you going to generate the power? How do you create power?
For the electric car?
For any of it. For the charging, all that stuff that they're going to do when they want to be all electric by 2035.
Okay. Now this is what I understand from it. Are you talking about while the car is running, how it generates it, or when you park and
No, when you park to charge it.
Okay. This is what I understand. At the Home Depot over there at, what is that, 13 Mile and Little Mac Court, they've got a charging system now where it sits off to the side of the parking lot, and you pull up to the, like, the pump, and you plug it in. You can sit and wait for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, or whatever, and they charge you by the kilowatts, I think it is. And that voltage comes straight out of the power lines in the air. Now, if for some reason Home Depot's power go off, that generator kicks in and keeps them charged.
So what keeps it charged in case of a blackout, a citywide blackout?
The generators. Because the same
generators
they got a big old generator beside the hospital. It's a big old, it sort of looks like a 26 foot box off of a U-Haul.
So we have a blackout in the neighborhood, I got to go take my car over there to charge it.
Yeah. You'll actually be screwed up with these new electric cars.
Remember the gas lines in 79 and 80? Yeah. That's what it's going to be like for the electric.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be like, Jake.
I can see a lot of people calling in from work, calling in, I can't come to work. My car won't stop.
You know, I never understood what was wrong with the hybrids. Why does everybody want to be total electric? hybrids were a good deal, man. You're cruising on the freeway, and then your engine shuts off, and you run on electric power. And when the power goes down, the motor kicks in and starts charging.
Mm-hmm.
Because
that was a good idea.
On a six hour drive from here to San Francisco, my son has an electric car, and it took him almost 10 hours because he had to stop 3 times to charge, or 2 times to charge.
Uh-huh.
So I could, it would take me 2 weeks if I want to drive out to Detroit.
Yeah.
You can't really go far on them. Now around town,
right.
Yeah, that's great.
And that's what scared me is what good is buying a $60,000-$80,000 car and I can't go to Arkansas. If I do, it's going to take me longer than if I even rode a damn bicycle. You got to stop, charge it up, stop, charge it up, make sure you got gas in the other motor. I really think what they're trying to push us into is this electric car, because you know what I did notice about the United States? When something new comes out, there's a lot of little, I don't know what to call them. I was about to say soldiers. There's a lot of people sitting in the background waiting. Oh, I want to make the new battery cables for that electric boat. Oh, I guess I'm going to make the cable for it. Oh, I'm going to make the tires. Oh, I'm going to make the, it's going to be a lot of Bell tires, auto parts selling this and that. You know how much money these people are going to make off of electric?
Oh, yeah.
That battery for that new Volt, when I heard how much that sucker was, I was like, hell no, I don't want no damn electric car. Who in the hell going to pay $9,000 for a battery for a damn Volt?
Well, what are you going to do with that battery when you take it out? Where does it go?
Oh.
Deep in the ocean?
Then you gotta tell the people how you disposed of it. Or it's got to go to a certain disposal yard. Unknown, you can't just take your battery out your Volt and just leave it on the corner or take it to the scrapyard. It's got to be properly disposed of, or else you'll get a ticket in the mail.
Well, I wouldn't get it anyway.
I wouldn't either, bro. Hey, Tao, here, when you go to the tire place and get a new tire, and they take your old tire off and give you another one, they charge you $1 to dispose your old tire here. Do they do that out there with you unknown?
Huh?
Do they do that out there with y'all?
I think it might be more.
More?
I think so, yeah.
Mm. Yep, they charge us $1 to get rid of that tire. Because we got so many tires around here, they people dumping them in vacant lots and all them tire places, Firestone, Goodyear, whatever, Kmart. They get somebody to dispose of them, and a lot of them ends up in the city of Detroit in vacant lots.
Yeah, because they don't do that. They just get the money for them. They get the money for disposing them and just go somewhere and dump them out.
Yeah. So, Corey, you know, on 8 Mile and Mile, just across the street from the AutoZone, it was a little area over there where they just dumped them behind them trees. They piled up so high, probably about a three-story high building. That's how piled up they were. And them tires, somebody set them tires on fire, and they burned for 3 days.
Yeah, I heard of something like that before.
They tried to put that fire out for 3 days, man.
Yeah, I heard of something like that before. Don't make sense.
Mm-mm. And then, too, I'm going to tell you something else I found out. I learned this years ago. If you take a tire, take it somewhere and dig a hole in the ground, bury it, in so many years that tire will come back up.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, rubber floats.
Yeah.
So they hell about disposing tires. So if you get caught, that's an environmental ticket that's up your woozah. But they just never be able to catch these people because they dump them at late nights and when ain't nobody around. And you'll see tire here, tire there. So they found a way. The only way they can get rid of tires is they take it to one place and they shred them up into little bitty tiny pieces. And they use the pieces now at playgrounds. They put them in the playground around the merry-go-round and stuff like that for the kids to play on.
They stopped that, I thought. I thought they couldn't do that anymore because it was causing some type of sickness to the kids or something like that.
You probably right, unknown. I don't know. They also used them on the racetracks at the high school. Because I remember when I was in school, they had a rubber track, and it was chopped up tires, pieces of tires all the way around the track. Now they're still trying to find ways to dispose of it.
But you have to understand, a man keep running himself into a trap. He don't care what it is, as long as he's getting money. He keep right on working on something until he get himself caught right to a block wall where he can't go no further. And after he get in a situation like that, then he trying to make arrangements to change. But, you know, sometimes it's too late. And it happens all the time with stuff, you know. And just like they beat people on tires, I mean, they got 20,000-mile tires, 30,000-mile tires, 60,000-mile tires. And they charge a lot of people the same prices, you know, so... I mean, you got to watch what you're doing now. You got to pay attention. You know, they got tires. The rubber come right off of them. You can buy them brand new. And they'll start cracking on the sides and all kinds of stuff. Drive out it. Man, you got to watch. You got to look at the yield on them, the date. And you got to keep all your paperwork. And you got to look and see whether or not, you know, how many thousand miles there are. I mean, there's a lot to pay attention to in life. And, you know, you got to watch outside in your backyard every day. You don't know who's going to throw something there or might be a abandoned car in your damn backyard. You don't know. So,
hey, and here our city council so fucked up. If I drop, say you stay here, unknown, and I drop some tires, I threw some tires in your alley behind your house, and the city seen them, the city inspector seen them, they're going to write you a ticket.
No questions asked.
They're gonna write you a ticket because they're behind your house.
I understand what you're saying. It's crazy. Everything's trapped.
Oh, one of my on the side of my building, some kids been. I don't know if you want to call them kids or whatever, but they write graffiti on the side of. Just like they do in New York, where they write on the trains and stuff. They writing on the side of buildings. And the city wrote me a screeching ticket.
Yeah, to get it off.
Like I'm gonna put graffiti on the side of my doggone building.
Oh, I understand. They don't take no responsibility. You know, everything is your problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's a setup. It's all a setup.
It is. And it's getting worse and worse. Now they got a new law. You know, all this stuff just came out since we've been taking over. They got a new law. If you get some graffiti on the side of your building, they're going to write you a ticket. The second time you got graffiti on your building, they're going to come out and pay. They're going to come out and paint over the graffiti and write you another ticket. and charge you for the paint for coming out painting.
You better use the right color.
Huh?
Yeah.
You better have the right color. If they don't have the right color, then I'm gonna sue the city for graffiti in my wall because that's not the color it was.
Right. That's really screwed
You got to turn it right back on them. That's what you got to do these days. You got to make them pay for what they're trying to keep. Everything is a trap, man. Everything is a trap. Everything. And it's getting worse and worse. That's all they're doing, trying to trap each other. And you see the same person that's out there every day, you know, doing what you do, will work on one of these jobs and be in there trying to make all the rules, trying to tell the people all the different things, how to trap somebody. And they'd be the first one to get caught in the most time. And they work right there making all these damn laws or trying to, you know, enforce them all because they're working in a jail or a seat or something in an office. And they're sitting there telling everybody, no, oh, she go this way, she go there, they're the first one to get trapped. Go out there and get right in that trap. Same trap they're trying to set for you and me.
Yeah.
Just to try to keep a job. Crazy. Really crazy. Just like it was a guy out here, he was used to work for the liquor bureau. And he was sitting there making all the laws about people out drink and drunk driving and stuff. And they put the MGM casino down there by the Wilson Bridge. And as soon as he opened up, he the first one went there and got caught and lost his job. But he's sitting there making all the damn laws about people getting drunk and all that and leaving casinos and all that, and he the first one there getting drunk. So that's what I'm saying. You got these kind of people sitting around making all the laws. Yep. And they get caught pretty soon. Yep. It's sad, man. That's why you got to pay attention 24/7. Always understand what you're getting yourself into. Step back and take a look. Say, well, where is this going at? You got to be there to yourself.
Yeah.
When you get up in the morning, before you leave home, you got to ask yourself, what's out here? What possibly happened, you know? You can't stop everything, but you got to ask yourself that question. What's possible I can save myself and get myself into something? Because you can go out there and get in a little stupid argument with somebody in the parking lot, lose your tow truck, lose your job, go to jail for 1 second for some little stupid person inside of a parking lot acting dumb. So you gotta be ready for that stuff when you leave home. And good, you got to be in good spirit. So when something like that happens, you can be able to just move on. So that's all it takes, 1 second. That 1 second and everything you got gone. Work all your life for nothing. You sitting inside of a pen somewhere, if you make it there. Yep. And then, plus, then when you're working, when the law comes, you don't want to hurt nothing, you got to say. You know what I mean? Trying to provoke you. So you can get into trouble. So you got to learn this, hey, I ain't going to say nothing. Let it go. I deal with you later. I deal with you on paper, black and white.
Right.
And that's how you got to do it. Yep. Did you know anybody that went in the race down there from up this way? Like Bobby Cole and Trigger Man and them.
I seen Memphis Gangster. I think he just did a shakedown. I'm not sure if he was racing anybody. I seen him. His car was there. Trigger Man, I know he was hot. He was winning a couple of races.
He won a couple.
Six mile Randy with Wesley Snipes. I think that was day one. What was that, Thursday, Corey? Or Friday? Yeah, Thursday. Wesley Snipes beat Dillinger. He's out of Alabama for a lot of cheese. Gave him a 1-1. Gave him the back tire and the brake.
And got him.
And cleared him. Yep, and cleared him.
How about Tony Bond?
I didn't see nothing of Tony Bond. Was he even there, Corey?
I don't think he was there. I'm not for sure.
I didn't see him
on the video.
I've seen a few videos, and Tony Bond wasn't nowhere. Right, he normally be at the head of the game trying to get some of them ducks.
Yeah,
you'll see Tony likes to be in the limelight with the camera. So, Trigger Man got a lot of camera exposure.
Maybe somebody might come on and tell us a lot about a lot of things that went on.
Sure, if you get mad at us. See if you can get Melvin on. I know he was there.
Yeah.
Melvin was just on the show. He didn't hit the one button. He was sitting there listening, but he didn't hit the one button. He just jumped off.
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
you start talking about racing and fast cars.
I don't force nobody to say nothing on the show. Whatever floats your boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all good, though.
Yeah. You got some race reports. Spit it out.
Oh, yeah.
Damn it. Come on. Yeah, I don't know. Hold on. I don't know who this is.
Yeah, they probably finished down that, ain't
they? They're done.
Well, today would be the last day, huh?
They should be done down there by now.
They'll be going on until late tonight. Well, I ain't going to say too late, but, yeah, they'll be going on to about 11, 12 tonight. And today is the last day. Some people try to leave out early and get on after they lost all their money.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lot of money. When you go to places like that, you know, so you got to be prepared and you got to be thinking. You take care of all your car expenses, your food expenses, your place you're going to sleep at. Man, that's a hell of a bill. You got to be ready for that one. You got to save for that one. You got to be ready for that.
Yeah, that's why when we be on the show, sometimes I be talking about people traveling. It's not that big of a problem for me. Because I like traveling, but some people are actually scared to travel. They think it's gonna cost them an arm and two legs. Well, if you book your hotel in advance, and you get it at the low rate discount, you know what you're paying in hotels. Okay, you get there Friday, you got Friday night, Saturday night, and if you're gonna leave Sunday or Monday, you got 3 days of hotel fee. Calculate that, put that money to the side. Then put your little money for eating. If you're going to cook on the grill, that save you some dollars, buy you some honey, some buns, bread, some chicken, some meat, burgers, whatever, all your ketchup and stuff, bam, you got all that. Get you some charcoals and a barbecue grill. Okay, there you're cooking. You can cook for 3 days, 2 days. If not, you can buy food while you're there. It's not really difficult, is it, Corey? Because then you know what you got to pay to get in the track. It costs you $20 a day, $25 a day, whatever. You know, $75 for 3 days or whatever. If you can get a discount, if you buy all 3 days, you might get it for $65, however they work. You know you got to have that money. Just keep tallying up. So now when you come up with a total figure, you put your gas expenses, what it costs you to get down there, and possibly what it costs you to get back, and total that all up. If you want to buy you a couple of T-shirts while you're down there with Tao's race car on the side or Venom on the side of the T-shirt, buy you a couple of T-shirts. That way you know how much you're spending, and then have you spent some emergency money. And go. Go have you some fun.
Do you think a house is much cheaper to rent if you're going in there for all that time like that? They're like, this race right here started you know, I guess Tuesday or Monday or something like that? Do you think it might have been better to rent a house or something like that for the whole week?
Airbnb? If you got an Airbnb, I wouldn't know, because my girl rented an Airbnb when they went to Philadelphia. They liked it. It was a whole house. Everybody had their own little bedroom. You can cook right in there. Somebody go buy some food.
Yeah, that's what I
wanted.
I guess it's
okay. Then how much do the Airbnb cost? I don't know. But then you gotta, work that out with the group of people. Let's say me, you, Corey, and Teo went. Okay. Out of all us, we got to guarantee every last one is going to be there. We got to find out what the Airbnb going to cost per day. Book it ahead of time. Ask the ladies, we got a kitchen, microwave, stove, all the air conditioning. It works, the heat works, whatever. We got running water, hot water. They supply the towels and stuff, I think. And add that to your pot and go do it. I just don't know how much of a savings it is to do the Airbnb versus the hotel. I don't have to worry about that no more, because I got a travel trailer, and that's my hotel. Everything I need is right there. So. Mm-hmm.
So you would need a trailer park or something other, so you can hook up to the city with sewer and water once you get down there, though, right?
I can or don't have to. Listen, I got an option. With mine, it's an option. I can, if some tracks have that option where you can plug right into their power line and you have a water line, they have that option, some tracks. And many of them do. If you don't have that, if you go to a track and you don't have it, or somebody, they all filled up when you get there, everything on that travel trailer is all ready to go. It's got its own water.
For a couple of days.
It's got its own water.
For a couple of days.
It'll last me a week. It's got its own water. It's got its own power, air condition. It's self-sufficient.
You need a generator or electric. That comes with it.
I make sure I have me a generator. So in case I need, if I go out in the woods next to Bambi and Yogi the Bear, they might want to come knock on my door and sleep in for the night. Because I'm gonna be cozy.
Yeah.
just Bambi. Bambi just better not bring no freaking fleas in the house.
I heard that.
Because if I see one bare footprint on my doggone carpet, oh boy, we gonna have some bear chitlin, some bear gravy. Ooh boy, it'll be a bear rug from here on out.
Mhm. So you have a gooseneck, or you just have the regular tone?
Gooseneck.
You got a gooseneck.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So that's how your truck's set up for it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's good. You all set? Locked and loaded?
Not quite. I got to get a truck. That's why I was asking you and Teo to find me a dually, preferably a four-door dually.
Well, you know something, like the only way you're going to really get something, you know, that ain't going to cost you a lot is...
Go ahead.
The only way you're really going to get a truck that's not going to cost you a lot is if you know how to do a lot of work yourself. Because a used truck damn near costs as much as a new truck.
I know. Big Drag was telling me about, he knows somebody that had a truck, and I was thinking about it, and I'm still thinking about it. I might buy that one and go through the engine and trans myself, because I do not want no breakdowns. I prefer an older truck anyway because I don't want to fool with that death. Ever since the death mm-hmm. came out on these trucks, it has created a hell of a problem. And when them sensors go out, man, I'm telling you, bro, you when them sensors go to acting up and then you got a problem, the death, there's a sensor for the death fuel, there's a sensor for this, a sensor for that. I'm like, every time you look up, it's a sensor going out and then you have problems. Now you at the mercy of a dealership.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all go ahead and talk. I got a call. I got to come.
Oh, okay. No, man, I tell you, when I went out to look for my 2500, that's probably been about 15 or 20 years ago. I went around everywhere, and the trucks were so beat up. And they wanted almost the same thing close to it, you know, for a new truck. I said, shit, I might well go ahead and spend another $4,000 or $5,000 and get me a new truck. You know, then to buy somebody else's stuff that they want all that money for, and you don't even know what's wrong with it.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. I went on and got something new, and so I sold that, you know, and I gave that away. Yep.
Yes, sir.
So, I know how that stuff is. Yep.
No, that's cool.
What race you guys talking about, Corey?
Oh, no, we weren't talking about, we were talking about Orlando. That's what we were talking about. And then they just started talking about the dually.
Well, cool. All right.
Yeah, all right.
What's that?
You good?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just got on late, had to go get the Malibu picked up today, so didn't get home till a little while ago.
Okay, that's cool. Yes, sir, that's all right.
Time to get to work now.
Tell me about it, you and me both.
At least mine's done.
Yeah, mine is too, we just need a little love.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. Because
I had a buddy of mine that's got a Dodge 2500. It's all set up for fifth wheel, gooseneck, and all that shit. He's getting ready to sell. But Shake done jumped off, so I can't tell him about it.
Yeah, I wonder what he want for that. You got an idea what he might want for that?
No, whatever payoff is, and he's got to check with the bank and see what that is. But it's an 07, got 193,000, Cummins, automatic, four-wheel drive. He's been hauling his camper and stuff with it, and he's buying a 4500, one of them Kodiaqs.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
he's stepping up to a big truck, so he doesn't need to pick up anymore.
Oh, yeah. And he's letting that money sit around.
Ain't that the truth? Them damn trucks are, wow, I can't believe what they get for them bitches.
That's what I'm saying. I believe the dealer buying a lot of stuff that people usually put up. Now you usually ride up down the street and you see a lot of cars and trucks out there. You don't see as many anymore. I think the dealer buying them. And upping the price, fixing them up a little bit and upping the price. That's what I think. I ain't for sure, but I mean, that's what I'm thinking. Because you don't see stuff out there like it used to be.
None of the dealerships could get any new cars for the last year and a half.
Yeah.
So they've been sucking up everything they can get a hold of.
There you go. That's what I thought, the same thing. Same deal. Y'all got any bad weather over there where you at? They had a big storm somewhere over there. Kentucky, how far y'all from Kentucky?
No, we're all in Michigan except for Tail. And they don't have storms where he's at, just earthquakes.
Yeah. Y'all got a little bit of the storm over there where y'all at too?
We didn't get anything up here where I'm at. I don't think you guys got anything down there, did you, Corey? Detroit? I don't think we got any of it up here.
No, we ain't getting that. No, we good down here.
Yeah. Hell, it was 51 degrees here today.
Yeah. We got a little bit of wind and rain. We got a little bit of wind and rain, and yesterday it was like down near 70 degrees here.
Sorry,
well, that's what they're saying for Wednesday and Thursday. This next week, we're supposed to be in, like, low 60s here.
Yeah, we got
some. I heard about that. I heard about when we're supposed to get some nice weather. Ooh-wee.
You weren't on here, Shake, but a buddy of mine's got a Dodge 2500-07 Cummings that's 100% good to go that he's been traveling the whole country with. Hauling his fifth wheel camper.
Yeah.
That he's getting rid of. Whatever he owes is on it? It's all he wants.
We need you need to go in the private room.
Well, I don't know what he owes on it, so he's
okay.
He's gonna check with the bank in the morning and then I'll let you know. But
okay.
He's upgrading, he's going to the Kodiak 4500 Chevy.
He likes the Kodiak.
I love them, but I can't afford one. But, yeah, that's what he's buying.
Are those Kodiaks 550s?
You can get a 45 if in a Ford. I don't know what they are, but you can get them in the Chevy in the 4500. It's just a smaller version. And then they do have the 55 and they got two different ones in GM. I don't know what the Ford's got.
Well, you know, the Ford, I'm working on a Ford 550 right now, but the suspension is horrible, man. It rides rough as fuck.
It's a semi. It ain't going to ride like your Honda.
But it's really a step over a 4500. It shouldn't be that doggone stiff. I drove this truck up and down the road, man, and that son of a bitch, it bounced my doggone feelings out.
Yeah, well, it's just an I-beam suspension.
Yeah.
They're not an independent or nothing. I mean, they're just a twin I-beam setup. And they're a truck, man.
I'm
going to ride that good.
I'm hoping when they put some weight on that joker, it'll mellow down a little. We'll see. Because I can always take a leaf spring out or two. But it's got enough suspension on that sucker, man. The whole a four-car trailer with no problem. So you say it's a 07 Dodge.
Yep, with a Cummins. Automatic, four-wheel drive. Four-door, long bed.
Okay.
It's everything you want.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're looking for a car trailer and a Kodiak with living quarters in it, Bipolar's got one down there that's got the Cadillac conversion on their Kodiak. They're selling the truck, trailer, and everything down there by you. The white one.
You say Bipolar.
Yeah, the company Bipolar.
What company? Oh, you talking about the...
It's a race team.
I thought... Hey, Corey, I thought he was talking about the guy down in Florida named Bipolar. He threw me off there for a minute. Okay.
I see.
No, it's the guys that Jasper and them guys all race together. Corey Malone, Jasper, and a couple other guys are all part of that Bipolar company.
Okay, I got you. When soon you said Bipolar. Bipolar.
Yeah, everybody thinks about that Dodge.
Yeah. Now that Kodiak don't sound bad. But I think I would have to be picky about that Kodiak. It's got plenty of seating in it, but is it like living like a bed in there where they can sleep? Is it set up where you can sleep in it too? Or is this problem?
No, it's just for traveling. I mean, you can get them that are like campers on the back of them.
I
know. Instead of having a fifth wheel hitch,
like.
You do like tag trailer.
Well, see, I would like to have something like that that's set up with the beds in it. So, say for instance, I got Unknown, Corey, Teo as my race team, and we go traveling, and they traveling in that, and I'm pulling the fifth wheel, and they can sleep in that. And I got room, and I got extra room in my travel trailer. So it ain't a problem with nobody having a place to sleep and eat. Plus, it's got, you know, all the live wear in it where you can cook and shower, watch TV. I'm getting that checklist together, Unknown. I'm getting that checklist together.
That's the way to go. That's the way to go. You shouldn't have it no other way. Yep, too much be going on not to have that.
Hell, you still with us?
Still here.
Somebody just called in on the show. I seen the number on there, and it was a 901 area code. And I said, who is this? I was like, damn, my first thing I thought was Wit. But before I can interrupt Unknown and bring them on, they jumped off. So I happened to call them. And then I said, no, I better not call them. I hung up. So he called me back, right? When he called me back, he asked me, did I need a tow? I was like, no. You just called in on the Shake and Bake show a few seconds ago. He's like, oh, I dialed in by mistake. I said, by mistake? Oh, that's strange. To get a show number. And I said, where are you at? He said, I'm in Tennessee. I said, and then he asked me, what kind of show was this? I said, where we talk about race cars, no prep, grudge race and stuff like that. He said, oh, I race a motorcycle. I said, you do? Then I must have met you somewhere before. I said, did you ever go to Bobby Cole's race? He said, hell yeah. I was there last year. I said, okay, that's probably where you got my number from. And his name is Twin. And he's going to be back on a little while later, but he's at work right now. And it was like, ain't that a coincidence? Ain't that a hell of a coincidence? So everywhere I go, I pass out some of my business show, cards to the show. And I see you, Brent. Hit the one button. And it was a coincidence. I ended up running into him, and he dialed in on the show. Because he's racing motorcycles. They're going to have a motorcycle race at Orlando, Florida, next weekend. I said, okay. And he know one of the guys up here. Corey, you know a guy named Slim to ride a motorcycle? Or you're not into the motorcycle? Am I on the show by myself?
No.
Nah, my phone acting crazy. I don't know.
I'm still here.
Okay.
Man, you ain't on the by yourself. My phone is acting crazy.
It feels like I'm on here by myself until my boy Brent just come on the show. And I know First Lady is on his side. What's going on, player?
What's going on over there?
Oh, man. Good weather. Good weather.
Yes, sir.
It's good weather.
Just getting home.
Bad weather out in California for Tail.
Yeah, they got snow coming. We're going to change our weather and give that to Tail.
I don't need it. No, 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 no. Don't even want it.
what we say 50, 60 out in Cali next week.
I wish.
Mm,
mm, mm, mm. We got another storm coming.
Hey, Corey, you got any T-shirts with Venom on the side? You got any of them left?
Yeah, I got some. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. It was a delay in you coming on. Oh, you got any hoodies?
No, I ain't got no hoodies yet.
I will now.
Make about two of them and send them both to Tao.
What?
So he can stay warm.
Special delivery.
Oh, no. I'm good, man. I got a shirt. I'm good. I'm good, man.
Hey, we're going to call Ernie and get one of them bottle heaters and put inside that hoodie so Tao can stay nice and warm. All he had to do is roll up his sleeve and push a button.
I'm good.
Okay.
Okay, we know.
Hey, Rick, I seen your boys on the post where they was all at the PRI in the room chopping it up.
Yeah, they were having a good time, weren't they?
Yeah, man. You ain't never been to the PRI?
Nope.
Oh, you got to go, man. You got to go. If you don't
nope.
do nothing, just spend a day there one day, man. You'll love it.
Nope.
Yeah, you will.
I can't afford a place like that.
Yeah, it's not expensive to go or get in. I can get you some free tickets. It's just a good,
nope.
a good getaway. Oh, shit. That's poor.
And see all the shit that I want and all the money I spent. No, I'm not going.
Okay. Then you.
I don't have the ability to say no.
Well, I'll take in First Lady. Well, next year, y'all better look out. Get your hat, Brent.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, y'all real dead tonight, man. Good.
Just getting warmed up.
Just getting warmed up. You just come in out the cold?
Yeah, we just got home. We've been running, getting lumber. The prices are going up, so had to go get a bunch of lumber.
So what was that I seen you posted? Looked like y'all was building a house or a shed or something. What was that?
Yeah, big old pole barn.
Pole barn.
Yeah.
Who laid the cement?
A lot of them. What's that?
Did you lay your own cement or somebody laid it for you?
Not yet. We got to wait a little while on this one. We do it ourselves. But we're going to get the roof on it and a few other things. And we got to get some more fill brought in over there.
Some more what?
Fill dirt.
Fill dirt.
Yep, some fill. Yep, fill dirt. Fill class 2 fill dirt.
Now, I don't want to stop y'all from talking about the show. And I'm going to have Unknown come up with topics again. But I need to ask you something about that pole barn. How do you put the pole barn up and you don't have the floor in there? You just lay enough flooring just for the walls?
No. You drill a hole about 4 feet deep, a little over 4 feet deep, and then you put concrete in the bottom of them holes, and then you set your pole down in the hole.
Now, when you say pole, is that for every corner of the pole barn?
Yeah, every post sits on a concrete footing.
And it's 4 feet deep.
Yeah, a little over 4 feet deep.
So each corner has you go down a little over 4 feet, and it's only 4 inches wide.
What's that?
You know, for the corners where you talking about putting the cement at.
No, we do every post get cement, every post. So we drill, you know, like that pole barn there, I drilled like 34 holes. You know, so you drill 34 holes and you put concrete in the bottom of them. And then you set your post on that and then you start building. Yeah, pretty slick.
Okay,
they go together pretty nice.
So how far a distance is each pole?
8 feet, yeah.
So between them 8 feet, what do you put under that right there? Do you put cement there, or is it
that
just get, on,
you
is
get
it on
concrete?
Dirt?
You get concrete. Concrete will go in there and fill it all in once we get it. I mean, any time now the concrete can be done. Yeah, it's this guy here had a lot of fill brought in, so it's been setting for quite a while, and he's a little bit short on fill, so the homeowner's got to get some more fill brought in and bring it up a little bit more, but that won't take too long. Yeah, we got a bunch of them going up right now. We're pretty busy, so.
So that one that you showed on Facebook, you got to go back out there Monday morning.
I've already got all the steel. I'm waiting on my steel now for the roof, so it's going to be about 4 to 5 days, and I'll have my steel, and then we'll go back over there and put the roof on it and get it all boxed in. Yeah, so I'll be a week away from that job, and I got another one going up tomorrow we're starting on. We got about 3 or 4 of them going up right now.
And the way y'all do the footing, it just throws me off because I guess I'm old school. I'm thinking you gotta have the flooring done first. And you gotta go.
Yeah.
You gotta go below the frost line. Which is 46 inches or better. Once you get that laid, then you can go with your 2x4s and build upward.
Yeah, it makes it nice, and you can get them up pretty quick. And a lot of people are building houses. We got right now. I'm quoting on a big monster job for a house and some other stuff. So. Yeah, a lot of people are building what they call barn dominiums now. You know,
barn
they got a. Yeah, look it up when you get a chance, when you get caught up here next couple days. Check them out.
Barn dominium.
Yeah. You'll be hollering you want one.
You do that kind of work, Rich?
Not anymore. I call a buddy of mine
when
I need that shit done.
Oh, that's Sprint.
There you go. That's who put mine up.
You got the old G-body home, Rich?
Yeah, got her home tonight. Frame rails are all fixed and done. All the new suspension parts that were rusted are all replaced. So pull the rear end back out, get that handled.
You notch your frame, didn't you?
Oh, why would I do something like that for a street car?
Oh, didn't you notch it? I didn't know.
No, just regular factory. I thought you might have notched the frame or something.
I did.
Yeah.
I can put a 10-inch wheel with a 2810-5 underneath it.
Right. Nice. Nice.
So, but no, it's got trick chassis parts underneath it.
We need some more G bodies in the class.
No, sure, just a hard tire car. Just a hard tire car.
Where's Hamilton, man? We need him come down and play with us too. We were supposed to see him at Onondaga. Where you at, Mike Hamilton? Mike?
He ain't on here. Yep. I'm gonna have to give him a
call. No, he's not on tonight.
No, I texted him.
Yeah, we need to get him.
Hold on.
You ain't been burning up that Vega tail?
No, not a few days. We're going to do a gear change on it, but I tucked it away for a little bit.
Well, you guys do have winter out there too, don't you?
No, just laying low. Laying low until they start chirping. And
I hear you.
Oh,
I hear you.
Sure. It's right here. Here it is. That works. So I just keep it quiet.
He didn't answer. He's probably chewing on a turkey bone right about now.
No, we're just doing hard tire with that, Brent. That's all we're doing. Give RJ some seat time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be right. I can promise you that.
Yeah.
You know that. And I mean, anything that's got my logo on the back of it, it'll run good. It's going to be competitive, but
yeah.
Just something
to
cruise around, you know. I'm not going to, I mean, that car's way too clean. I mean, the interior's mint condition, 57,000 actual miles on it, no rust. I'm not going to cut that car up. There's no reason to.
Yeah, I don't.
There's not enough of them just being restored classics. Everything's getting cut up and turned into a G-body shootout car.
Right.
Well, you started notching the rear end on it. Go on and cut it up some more.
No. There's nothing been. All looks like factory frame rail. We did find a company. I couldn't believe it, but. You know how them cars rust in the back?
Yeah, they do.
All of them rust. I found a company for the rear frame rails. It was $184 for the pair. Goes from the front where the curve, you know, like where it goes up over the wheel, and then that curve right there all the way back to where the bumper mounts to. It's $184 for a pair of them.
You found the company to sell those?
Yep. That's what we put underneath it. You look underneath that car, and it looked brand new, man, like it's got perfect factory frame rails in it.
Oh, my God. $180-something bucks for a set of them?
Yep.
Pretty good deal for nowadays, ain't it?
He ain't lying.
That's what I thought. But Ken Johnson, the guy that put them in, he was going to make them. And he found these and asked me if I wanted to go that way because it'd be like factory original.
Uh-huh.
And for the price, why
would
you not, you know? Hell yeah.
Okay.
All he had to do is cut it. And First Lady.
Yes, sir.
I hear your business way over here. Yeah. You're just. You're disturbing my show. What's for dinner?
It was Burger King tonight.
Burger King?
Yep. We was out and about.
Man.
And
well.
And that's what it was.
Y'all know I have stayed away from McDonald's, Burger King, and Wendy's for... How long has it been? 2.5 years. I've been doing good.
Yeah.
I won't even pull up in McDonald's parking lot no more.
No, I think I'm done with McDonald's myself. And
please do.
She didn't eat nothing. But I ate Burger King tonight, but, yeah, it was just something to get me by, I guess.
Yeah, catch up with me because I have left them fast food places alone.
That's good,
year,
Jake.
No, was it this? Wait, when was it, Corey? Last year? No, 2 years ago. Oh, year. Yep. When was it? Last year? No, year and a half ago, almost 2 years, I used to sit and do the show at the Coney Island, inside the Coney Island, and I'd be eating and watching TV, because they got TV on this inside. And I found myself eating too much of the fast food stuff. I went Coney Island, down and turned to, since the COVID helped me stay away from the COVID at Coney Island, because they shut them all down, so that was a big plus. So now I'm watching what I'm eating. So I stay away from the Coney Island.
Well, you're going to have to go out. You're going to have to go to a fast food restaurant at least once this next summer, Shake. At least once.
Man, you know how. You know, I've been forcing myself to stay away from them every now and then. I might splurge, but now you own a place I like to go to. I might have already been there, but
no.
Oh,
that's why I say you got to go at least once this summer.
I might try you out this summer. I might splurge once, but it's been hard, man. It's been real hard. But you do a little
that's
bit at a time, a little bit at a time.
See, that's where I eat all summer. That's where I eat all summer. So I don't do
summer.
Any of it in the winter, so I can make up for it by eating there all summer.
You never did give me the address to that place, did you?
Probably not. I don't know it.
Oh.
I don't know what it is. I just know
damn
where
shame.
It is.
Damn shame. Do you?
You just have to let me know when you're up here, and I'll meet you over there, and I'll tell you we'll meet up and go in there, and we'll have lunch.
How far is it from your house?
10 minutes.
Oh, shoot.
Well,
so
maybe
I damn
15.
Impact. 15. So when I came through that city, what is that, Auburn? Downtown Auburn?
No, you were in Albion to come out here. You went through Albion. You got to go beyond my place towards Marshall. Restaurants in Marshall.
Okay. Because don't Michigan Avenue run right through Marshall?
Yep, right by my the wife's restaurant. It's right on Michigan Avenue, right there, just before you get to the city limits in Marshall. Can't miss it.
Yeah, I might have been in that place once before, because I had to go through Marshall. My lawyer was in Marshall, and it's a funny thing. I had to take my lawyer back to his office after he sucked enough money out of me in court.
Huh. That would have been a very expensive cab ride if it had been mine.
I should have stuck some to his butt too. But he didn't charge me too much when I went to court, so he saved me a little bit. But anyway, come on, Unknown, with your topic. Unknown got a topic for you guys. And like always, he's always got a good one.
Well,
I know you want to announce it.
Huh? Yeah, you can go ahead. So I can go ahead and talk on it after everybody else gets in.
Oh, shoot. Why is all these people calling me now? I ain't trying to holler. Okay, Unknown got a topic for today, people. Listen up. He said, do you think someone can take away from you what you work hard for? And why would they want to do it? That is the topic. Do you think someone can take away from you something that you have worked hard for?
Is this a racing scenario?
It's got some flavors to it. Like, you think somebody can take away the Shake and Bake show that we've worked hard for? Do you think somebody can take away your race car that you work hard for?
Well, no one's taking my car.
No one's taking my car.
But no, hell no, no, I ain't getting my car. But the other side of it is that because of the shows, like you mentioned your show. You don't have a lot of control of that. If Blog Talk goes belly up and they go broke, you know what I mean? So it's like that topic, I think, needs to be a little bit more specific on.
And if that did happen, Unknown, we would just move to podcast. If Blog Talk did decide to go belly up or lost out their contract or whatever, they couldn't take it from us, Unknown. We just relocate. Because this is a Shake and Bake show. We can't be stopped. We just keep on with the keeping on.
You know how people steal your ideas. They might stand around and watch what you're doing to your car, and they go around and try to use the same methods or the same parts you got that you put in your car. Things like that. Or come around there and try to talk to you out of your shit.
Now, you mentioned people trying to steal stuff, and that did happen. But you know what? I told myself years ago, I would welcome that. If somebody tried to steal the color of my car, the paint design, they tried to copy this same engine or whatever, I would welcome that. Because I learned this from a guy. Me and Melvin was at a party. Bernard threw a party. It was like a 4th of July or something. He threw a party at his house. And one of the guys, I don't even know this guy's name, walked up to us, and he said, man, there's so many haters out here. And me and Melvin looked at him both and said, you damn right, there's a lot of haters out here. We both can vouch for that. And he said, you know what? When people go to spitting bad venom on you, that tells you you must be doing something for them to be talking about you. You must be doing something right for them to be talking all this negative about you. And I looked up at Melvin. We both looked at each other, and he damn right. He hit it right on the head. If you're not in somebody's mouth or conversation, you're not doing anything. Think about it. They won't say nothing about you until you start getting up the ladder, and now they want to point the finger. You start getting closer up the ladder, doing good, they're going to point the finger at you more and more and more. You will not be in their mouth in their program or their conversation until you start doing something good. And they're going to start talking about you. And that's the truth. So I would look for them to start, yeah, if they want to pop you off of Shake and Bake and they want to do this, they want to do that, let them go head on. But I know where it started at.
There you go. There you go.
It started with Rich, Corey, Tao, Unknown, Brent, and First Lady. It started right here.
That is like if you was out there and you couldn't get down the track for a while, so you came up with a method, pulling your own puddle. And people be sitting out there trying, they're damaged to trying to find out what you're using to make your car stick. So do you think that that's stealing your idea once they find out and they come back with you?
They would want to, if me and Rich came up with an idea to make pouring your own puddle, where we can win some races, they're going to try to find out what we in hell we doing. Oh, they're going to be peeping, cameraing, and sneaking and trying to con. We won't tell them. He's just like, hey,
but would you,
I'll just let them keep on out, guessing.
But if they find out and come out there next week with it, would you think that they stole your idea? That's the point I'm getting.
Of course they'd have been stolen because we didn't leak it out.
Okay. Okay.
If they find some kind of trick to get it, oh, well, I ain't gonna huff and puff about it.
So there ain't nothing you can do about it, but, yeah, obviously, they took it from you.
Yeah. But during that time where they don't know, oh, we're going to be kicking the ass and counting up them dollars. Before you know it, Rich going to add to that pole barn. Shake and Bake going to have that 18-wheeler RV. And he going to be doing some serious traveling. And I'll probably put them wings on that Honda. And I seen that landing strip in Tao's backyard where I can drop down anytime I want to.
Prime example of what you're talking about there, I know one of the prime example is I built my third-gen Camaro 30 years ago. I started building that car. When I started building that car, you couldn't buy a drive shaft loop for it. You couldn't buy subframe connectors for it. You couldn't none of that stuff. We had to make everything. And everything that we made that's on my car that we made in-house, we didn't put a patent or nothing on it because we never thought about any of it. It's just shit you needed to have. But you go buy a Lakewood drive shaft loop now, it's identical to what's in my car. You go buy a set of Chris Austin's subframe connectors for a third-gen Camaro, they're exactly what's in my car. There's nothing you can do about that stuff. I mean,
no.
If we'd have patented it and we'd have tried selling it or doing whatever, then it's a different story. But when you're doing what we're doing with these cars, you build shit out of necessity. You don't think about any of that other stuff. And I could have been a very wealthy man. But I ain't smart enough to know that ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we stay so busy and fighting life and stuff, we don't have time to call New York because that's where the main office for the patent office at and say, hey, I want to send in my patent design and this and that. Because I'm half the time, I'm scared somebody going to – even the patent places would steal your idea. My cousin invented something for the CD. Remember them? You remember when the CD used to come out in a little plastic case years ago?
Yeah.
When they first came out, it was in a case that was hard as hell to open. My cousin invented a device to open that, to slice it and open it up really. And he called that company on the TV. Whether you got that caveman walking around on that wheel. He called that company.
Mm-hmm.
That company told him, okay, send us your, we're going to send you this package.
Yeah.
You send us a picture of your invention, your diagram of your invention. They say it's going to be X amount of dollars to send your patent in. Now, I'm trying to remember this was years and years ago because, you know, the CDs is kind of obsolete now. When he sent the money in, the first time I think he sent in, I want to say $600 or $400. And he sent his paperwork in, boo-boo, sent it in, and he waited. And when they got back with him, they said, well, we're still working on your patent and all this stuff. Then they called him back. He got tired of waiting. They called him again. He called them. They told him that we need another $400 or $600, some more money. And he sent that money in to get the stuff rolling. And he waited and waited and waited. And he got tired of waiting. And I mean, when I say waited, he waited some 6 months to a year. When he called him the last time, they called him up and told him, say, hey, we're sorry to let you know, but somebody's already got your invention. Hmm. I said, shit me. Hmm. Bro, they just played you. Yeah. All that time that they got money out of him and all that time they took his invention, all they have to do is leave it sitting on the desk and somebody come by and look at it and copy it and then go do it. They stole your invention.
Hmm.
And when they called him and told him somebody already have, we checked, what the hell is taking the man's money for if somebody's already got it? Y'all supposed to go through the files and find out if it's identical to it and, okay, look, cuz, your invention is already patent, so here's your money back. Or here's your, you ain't no need for no more money. So I'm gonna tell you, I'm telling y'all this because this is what I learned. Those little companies on TV, stay away from them. You go directly to New York, where the patent company is, and you take your invention, you put it on a piece of paper, draw it, whatever, describe it, put it in an envelope, seal it up, mail it to yourself, and don't open it. Now, this is what somebody else told me to do. Send it to yourself, mail it, and when it comes to your mouth, don't open it. The guy told me when you send it to yourself and mail it, it's already postmarked that date and time, and it's never been opened, so you got proof that you had it before somebody else.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that makes a whole lot of sense. And he said, always go directly to the patent place in New York instead of these companies on TV, because the companies on TV is gonna leave it on their desk and somebody will give it to their friend and say, hey, John, won't you get this patent and invent this right here, man? Before this guy do it, we're gonna stall it.
Hmm. So what's the worst sign? What's one of the biggest signs when somebody's trying to steal something from you, your invention or whatever from you?
What's one of the what?
Does anybody know any signs? Any signs? Any main signs that they're coming up with?
I can't hear you, Arno.
What is one of the main signs? Say like if you
was
at your shop. Yeah, like if you was at your shop or like you got a show here. And somebody trying to steal your show or somebody trying to steal what you're doing with your car at home or whatever, what is one of the main signs when you see that person? What type of signs do you might think that you're going to get from that person when they're up to doing that? I think that's something good to know.
I got an answer for it. I'm going to shut up since I'm the host. Anybody want to answer that? What's one of the main signs you see, Tail?
I think maybe when you start, they start keep pumping money out of you. We need money for this. We need money for this. We need money for this. I think that would
good,
be my red
report.
Flag right there. Because I sent
good
you everything
report.
That you needed. What do I have to send you money for? So that'd be my red flag.
Mm-hmm.
Good report. You got anything, Corey? Corey must be up under the car.
Mm-hmm.
He
shipping snow out here is what he's doing. I know he is.
All right, that's kind of like right. I know, I just see you got hustled.
So you see you get hustled. What do you think, Brent? Or you need the question re-asked?
Yeah, say it again.
Some of the main signs when somebody get ready to do something wrong, you know, like steal something from you or steal your invention. What's one of the main signs you might see first? What you think they be doing to show you that they're up to no good?
First lady whispering in his ear, y'all.
Yeah, I like knowing things like this. You know what I mean? Because everybody got a different scenery of everything. So, and it's good to know all it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm not sure. I'd think about it a minute here, Shake.
Okay.
Unknown.
First lady.
She's in the middle of something else right now.
Okay. Rich, and then I'm going to get my answer.
Go ahead and do what you got, Shake. I don't really have anything either.
Okay. When a person starts asking a whole lot of damn questions, are they just nosy? Are they curious, wants to know, wants
mm-hmm.
to learn? Or are they about to steal?
Mm-hmm.
All the above.
Who was that? Who was that?
It was First Lady giving. She, I guess she nosed in on it.
All right. Well, we didn't hear your loud answer. Say it again.
I said all the above.
Yep.
What she said?
All the above.
All the above.
All the above. Okay. Okay. Well, you can come back to the show anytime you want to. It sounds like you far different. Yeah, when somebody is asking a whole lot of questions and you kind of get that feeling they up to no good, they don't want to know because of curiosity or just interested or want to learn. If somebody wants to learn, that's cool. But if somebody's asking so they can do the same thing, because I had that happen to me at one time. I think I better not say too much about that.
Okay, Shake. Well, what about if a
yes.
person turns into a yes man? Just like if you are getting ready to race someone and they're up to some dirty tricks and everything come out their mouth, you know, is a quick yes, and you know dang gone well that they don't mean that. Do you think they're up to no good?
Mm-hmm. Now, those are things that you pick up as you get older. Wisdom kicks in, where you find out it started when we was kids in elementary. This one kid wanted to look at my paper, and he didn't study the night before, and he didn't know anything. So he kept hanging around me and asking me certain questions and trying to be my friend. And all the other days, he has never been my friend.
There you go.
But today, all of a sudden, the teacher's going to give us a test at the end of the day. So as soon as we come out of the cafeteria for lunch, here he is riding my shoulder. And he ain't said three words to me all year, but here now he wants to say something. And then he rides the coattails of the bullies and stuff like that. Now he wants to say something. So all of a sudden now he wants to ask me a bunch of questions. And, I ain't got time for it.
Yeah, he up to them.
Yeah, he up to them. And since I ignored him, went on out to recess right after the cafeteria lunchtime, went on out to recess and played and then come back in. He wanted to sit next to me so when the teacher passed out a test, he can cheat off of me. Well, the teacher happened to move me across the room, and I watched him sit there and whittle his fingers and that pencil, and I knew he was going to flunk that test. Did I care? Did I give a damn?
No.
No. He's one of them ones that ain't had time for me for none of the other times until now.
Yeah, up to this time.
Yeah, he's up
and
to
this time. And then something else that amazed me, too. Say, like, if you got a shop or whatever you got, and a guy come there and want you ask you some questions about, you know, his car or whatever, but he's not really looking at you. He's looking at everything in your shop, trying to get behind your shop and behind every door, get in every drawer with his eyes. Ain't paying you no attention, talking to you, but not paying you no attention. He's trying to put his eyes everywhere but to you and what he's talking about. What you think about that?
Well, now, there's a point where I'm not God. I can't read his mind. Is he really looking and admiring my shop? Is he admiring the hole in the wall? Is he admiring the roof leaking? Is he admiring my hoist, the way I got it wired up? Is he admiring my shop to the fullest? Or is he looking for something to steal? I don't know. I'm not God. But I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. And when the hair on the back of my neck stands up, I'm going to start moving you to the front door. That's all I got to go by. When you in close coordinates with God, God will alert you.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about the other guy? What do you think about that question?
I'm listening for I'm waiting on them to say something.
I wonder what they think about that.
Shake, repeat the question.
I lost my damn self. Tail.
I got it. If somebody came to this shop and were asking you some questions about something, but they're not paying you no attention, they're looking all around your shop and everything that they can get their eyes in and just sitting there talking to you. So do you think they might be up to something for later, or are you going to pay close attention to them, or how would you be trying to judge them right at the moment? How would you be trying to figure out what they're up to?
Well, I don't know that if somebody came in on their own to talk to me about things and then looking around, and you don't know them. I mean, if someone comes to my shop and starts asking me questions, I'm like, well, who told you about me? You know, fire some questions back at them. But someone comes around casing your place and like they're going to rip it off. I mean, hopefully you'd be able to know a shady person from an honest person.
Yeah. And like
if
I was
they're
saying,
asking you questions.
Go ahead.
If they're asking you questions and they're looking around, I really don't care what you have to say. Yeah, that raises a red flag.
Yeah, like I was telling Unknown, I'm not God. I can't read that person's mind. He may be curious to what I have in my shop. And he might be totally honest. I don't know. As long he can ask all the questions he wants, as long as he don't show signs of he trying to take. Then if he leaves and happens to come back on his own and I catch him, I'm gonna be like, what are you doing here? Oh, I just stopped by to holler at you. You got my number. You should have called. Let me know you're on your way. You know, I never gave him the notion that he can stop by any time. So that kind of would raise a flag. But I'm like I say, I'm not God. I don't know what's in that man's mind. He might just want some work. He might want to learn about working on cars. I have a few students that I have taught. What is that noise? What is that noise?
I don't know. Is it me?
Background noise on you. It's an echo. It's an echo, Shay.
Is it gone?
I think, yeah, it's gone now. Okay. Made me lose train of thought. I had some students, some kids I trained. Y'all heard when Phil comes on. Y'all heard Phil trained under me for several years, and he wants to know about cars and race cars and how to work on cars. Well, to be a good race car driver, knowing how to work on cars is a good boost into that area. Well, when he was going right out of high school, he went to mechanic school at Northwestern Tech. Damn good school. Damn good school. Northwestern Tech in Ohio has complete automotive, electrical. They got a engine dyno class, a chassis dyno class. They can work on semi-trucks. The school is excellent. And before he left that school, they had just built an eighth of a mile test track for racing. Ohio Tech in Lima, Ohio. And while he was going to school there, but before he went to school, I told him, I said, you need to come work with me for a few years before going to that school. Somehow he got pushed into going to that school too early. And I'm not trying to tell his business, but this is important. When he went to the school Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and he came home on Thursday, sometime Friday, they get out early. Every day he was calling me during the break time at school. Shay, my teacher was talking about this and that. I don't know what the heck this is. He said he had me. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. I said, see, you need to be familiar with the cars before going to school. So he went to another class. Oh, Shay, the teacher started talking about an eccentric rod. What is an eccentric rod? Do anybody in here know what an eccentric rod is? I know you do, Rich. Brent, Dale, you know what an eccentric rod is? Tell them, Rich. Rich.
Rich don't know.
Tell.
Oh, you didn't hear my answer? I said an eccentric rod is a crazy rod. It's out of control. I don't know.
Kind of the same thing. But he was calling me, and the teacher was talking about an eccentric rod, and he didn't know what the hell it was. And I had to reiterate, if you had took that engine I had sitting on the floor, a 350 Chevy, old school, and took it apart, put it on the engine stand, and took it apart piece by piece, put it back together, you would have seen an eccentric rod. On a manual fuel pump, that rod that goes up into the engine that works the fuel pump runs off the cam. It ain't no longer than probably about 6-7 inches long, and it's round, a steel rod that works the fuel pump. On a lot of the newer cars, they eliminated it, and now that they got electronic fuel injection, there's no sense of it. You'll see the fuel pump area, but the hole is blocked off. When the man in the classroom started talking to him about an eccentric rod, he went berserk. He didn't know what the hell they was talking about. So it helps to know something before you start going to school. Now, that boy was very, very curious, and I took him under my wing and taught him as much as I can while he was around. And I was real proud of him because he absorbed. Now, if Unknown gets somebody to come to his shop and they asking questions and looking around his shop and looking nosy, they might just be want to know. Sometimes you can't tell.
Chick and the rest of y'all guys, things have really changed, and it's going to change a lot more right now. So it's good to have these kind of conversations so you can have this stuff in the back of your mind so you don't get caught off guard and caught by surprise. Because you got a lot of crafty people out here, and things are going to really, really, you know, move not for the best. They're going to move for the worst in a sense. I mean, the type of people that you have, you know, out here now, you know, they don't have no type of patience, and, you know, they out here to get it any kind of way they can. So you really got to be paying attention right now and keep a lot of things in the back of your mind. So that's why I said what I said. You know, I ain't nobody, but, I mean, I figured, you know, to be here to help and get help. That's what this is all about for me. And that's why I came up with all the stuff I said tonight.
Okay. Good report. I wanted to ask a question about that lady. It was a lady down in Orlando, Florida, that got her leg got injured. Like I said earlier, somebody had a pair of channel lock pliers, I guess, laying on the ground, and the car did a burnout, and it threw it. And I guess the lady's walking behind the car, and it threw it and hit her leg and cut her pretty bad. EMS had to stop everything and run back there and at the starting line and put on a stretcher and patch her up. But this standing around the starting line is growing and growing and got real big. There have been a whole lot of fatalities, people getting really serious, messed up, but and that simple could have been even worse. But the lady got a leg kind of messed up, and it's no safety in hanging around them cars during the starting line. So what do y'all think the people? I'm about to get to that. What do y'all think about if the track owners said, well, we're not going to let another car go down the track until y'all move? Well, y'all know how these people live. They just stand there and stand there and stand there. I don't think they're going to even want to move. The only time I've seen them really move and get out of that area is when you got the popos in there. When you got Joe Nav in there in uniform, then he can control them. And then they'll get out of the way.
We had a couple of tracks out here were famous for that. When y'all go behind these cars, they started that the last past, I guess, 6-7 years. You and too many people out there, and that's what they did. They stopped all the cars. That was at Capital Raceway and at Budge Creek, I mean. That's what they were doing.
Yeah.
They stopped the cars.
Yeah.
And that's the only solution to it for me. Only solution, because they ain't going to pay that no mind. They say, if y'all want to see some races, you get out the way. If you don't want to see no races, then, hey, we'll sit here all night. Yep, and that slowed it down.
But you know what? Let me add something to that. If they just stop the races and don't do anything, me and Teo is in line in our car ready to go race. Tail got a duck he want to race, and I got a duck I want to race. Now, we just sitting there like, what the hell is going on? These fools is in the doggone starting line, staging lane, and they don't want to move. It's affecting the drivers, the racers, everybody. So can we come up with a better idea other than that? Because that's affecting Tejo and Shake and Bake from race because of these.
They had the police. They had the police at both tracks. They had the police at both tracks. They had a chain across there. They let the cars in, then they put the chains back across there, and the police were standing in front of the chains. That didn't work. People still overpowered them and, you know, still got up there to the line.
Hold on. You say they overpowered the police?
Well, they just went under the chain, over the chain, and they whole stop all this net. They just came and just went on up in there. But when they cut them cars off and them cars didn't move, they listened to that. And they didn't come. They didn't go out there. So I've seen both ways.
Now we had at 1:31. They had, I think it was at Chucky's, right? They had security guards running around there. They even let some of the race people put on security uniform T-shirt.
Yeah, I know some
people walk right past them. Didn't give a scare. When 131 started hiring them state troopers, everybody got the hell on back then. When I go to certain tracks and I see they got real sheriffs out there, they got much respect.
Okay.
But I found out you gotta pay them sheriff and police. Let's see, when I talked to Biz say he paid $35 an hour to have the sheriffs come out to US 41.
Yeah, but capital.
And he was trying to decide on whether or not he should have them for how many hours. Do we need them early in the morning? No, not really. It's when they really get bad with it later on in the day.
When racing starts.
Yeah. So he was trying to decide on he was going to have one that morning, and then afternoon he'll probably have two, and then later on that evening he'll have three. So when they get real serious, because he noticed that they respect the law. Because the law gonna say, put your hand behind your back. Come on, go with me.
But what you going to do? You got two police and you got 100 people. What you going to do?
100 people?
And all the 100 people. Yeah.
Because it never be 100 people, Boy Gardner. And they ain't not going to take a chance with it. I've seen them. They respect the law more so than anything.
Well, what happened, if the calls come up in the line, in the staging lanes, up in the line, and like I said, before they go in the water box, they had a chain go up on across there. Certain calls, they already got 100 or more people back there. Back when last time I went to Capitol, and them people right there, whenever them calls up there make that run out, they were right there, behind the calls, went through the chain, right past the police. You hear them out there howling, move, 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 move back, move back. They gone and on through there. I'm sitting right there looking at them.
The track has to step in on this. And after the last two cars take a pass, the track has to tell us people do not put any cars in the water box. They make an announcement. Mm-hmm. We're not sending any more cars down the track until the starting line is cleared up. If you're not with the car, you cannot be on the starting line. If this happens again, we're going to shut down the entire race. So then what you're doing now is you're putting in the racers' hands. Now the racers have to put the spectators in check. Tell me, get the fuck out of here, man. Because you don't even belong on the track. So So got it. The racers will start saying it because they're there to race. So why should they get slapped on the hand for not doing anything? It's the spectators. So that's how the track has to do it. Do you need a bunch of law out there? Maybe some security. But you know what? For the most track, the track should just handle that. And say, hey, we're not sending any cars down here till they leave.
It got so bad there. The wristbands for the car and the color, you know, for the cars up there racing and for the spectators. So if you was up there and you didn't have that certain color wristband on, you wouldn't have no car. That's how bad it got.
Well, that's how they have it out here. If you're a driver, and part of the crew, you have your certain color band.
Yeah.
If you're a spectator, so like you could have red bands for the crew and the driver, and the greens are for spectators. So the spectators don't even come on the track because they don't have that band. But that band has to be assigned to a car number. So if my car number's 1111, and that's how it has to be. They have to be assigned to a car. So you're not just standing up there all night. But the other side of it too is this: there's guys that are up there. Like I'll go up there before my race because I want to check out the lanes. Which one's got rubber, which don't, I want to see who's hooking, who's not. You know, so you want to go up there and do your homework, too, instead of just going straight to the line. But I have my wristband saying I do belong to a crew. These guys are up on the starting line pretty much just, look at me, everybody, I'm on the starting line bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. They can see the same race from the stands.
Mm-hmm.
So the track has to step up and get involved.
Yeah, them fuckers be climbing all over the fence, all over the wall, all kinds of shit. And then he ain't with no car.
Nope, so they got nothing to lose, you know. When the tracks go away, then who do they cry to?
You're right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I noticed I went to Witch Race Trick or Treat not long ago in October. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, people started hanging around the starting line. It got kind of chaos. And what Whitney would do is have everybody leave the starting line. And they got a fence around it. They got a fence on both sides. And then they got a gate behind the cars when the cars go in the water box. And every time I remember this girl, she's a real big, fat, black security guard. And she carries a gun. And she'll open up the gate, let one car in, and if another one on the other side, she'll open up the gate or he'll open up the gate and let a car in, and then they close it. You can only go in with that car if your wristband is, like Tao was saying, a certain color. And once you go in, they close them gates. So I was noticing that. So I went over there to Witt, and they said, Witt, I need a wristband, a VIP wristband. They give them to the videographers or special guests. And he gave me a wristband. And I had it in my pocket, so when I went through the gate, the girl looked at me, I pulled it out of my pocket, and she said, oh, okay, go ahead. And she noticed I had my phone, and I was filming. Then when the show came on, when y'all heard me with the show, doing the show at the track, she seen me with my laptop. I had my laptop in my hand when I was walking through there. I was actually videotaping some of the races and talking to y'all on the show at the same time. And she's like, oh, you must be one of the videographers. I say, I'm more than just a videographer. I'm shaking bait. I'm here with the round table. Like.
Okay, I got another question. Who in your own puddle, does it be people up and down the street, wherever they race at, or up and down the airport strip, you know,
Start all over, because
when you pull your
Rich ain't here, but
when you go to the airport to race somebody, do there be people on the side of the airstrip up and down the track where you got to go past them in your car when you come past racing? Or people be in the back somewhere? Where does the people be at?
I'm confused
at what he's asking. I don't know what he's asking.
Say it again.
What I'm asking is, it's like a street race. You know how people be all up and down the street? So I'm asking, when you pull your own puddle, is it the same way at the airport, people up and down the airstrip or up and down the street if it's a street race? That's what I was wondering. Or people stand in the back and the car's going ahead of them, but they're in the back. You understand what I'm saying? Where the starting line is.
I'm wondering where pouring your own puddle, it looks just like if you was at the racetrack. It looks
okay.
Just
where the
like
at?
If you was at the racetrack.
Where the people?
Standing to the side. Now, let me tell you, some of these pour your own puddles have a street that they got designated, and they'll have barricades, where the walls is that the car hit in case they get out of control. They'll have walls down the side and on the other side of the wall, people be standing.
Oh, okay, so the car goes past them.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
you could. Yeah, so I've seen them have barricades. Now, I never been to the ones where they don't have the barricades and stuff up. The pour your own puddle at Milan, which Mike Detroit Hood put on, they are at the track. So where the people at is on the other side of the barricade. At Onondaga, they're on the other side of the walls. And plus they got bleachers on one side. So people get in there. Now, when they doing the burnout, it'd be a few people around that, but it's not that chaos of a bunch of people. It's not that.
Okay.
It's not. It'd only be a handful.
Because these cars are dangerous and quick. You know, if they go airborne or something fly off of them, you hit.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't no out. And they're going to do some damage if they don't kill you.
Yeah.
And that's what people not understand, you know, how dangerous their life is. How much danger they're going to put themselves in.
Yeah, they got
to. Because they feel it's not
going
to happen to them.
Huh?
Yeah, they do.
Man, there's a lot of pressure coming from these calls. Something fly off or, like I said, if it go out of control. And you ain't quick enough to get out of the way. Not quick enough. You don't know what hit you. You think lightning hit
you. Well,
crazy.
I tell you, when I seen that video, what's the guy name that do the big tires, Teo?
Limpy?
No, the big
You're talking
car.
About Limpy down
the
Texas?
Big. No. It's a black guy that do the big 73, 74 Capri, put the big tires on and he raced them. They call him the, what the hell I need you at, Corey, and you ain't here. Dunkmaster was doing a video. Somebody was videoing. Dunkmaster was getting ready to race in the right-hand lane, and they was, let's see, what was the video? It was in the bleachers, I think, in the stands, or it was a drawer, or one of them drones. And he was getting ready. He was doing the burnout, and it was two people. When he did the burnout, he had a turbo on it, and the pulley broke. Bounced off of the ground, off from underneath the car, and hit two people. That pulley hit the ground, and it flew in two different pieces, and pow, pow. I thought it just hit one, but the other person ran to the back of the car, fell on the ground. So both of them got hit, and that was Donk Master. Thanks, Brent, Donk Master. And that was his car at that time. And somebody showed a video, and it was pretty point blank. And I was like, ooh-wee. You see how easy somebody can be standing around that car doing a burnout, and boom, you get injured. You can get injured real bad.
Oh, it's dangerous.
So that, now, I have to admit, I've been in that starting line area too. For some reason, we all want to be up close and personal with these cars. But there are rules. If the rules say you're not supposed to be there, we shouldn't be there. Now, if I get hurt, I can't blame the track because I was Johnny wrong, totally wrong, totally wrong. But if I value my life, I carry my ass over to the sideline and get the hell on away from it. There's been a few times where I get up close and personal and videotape and go live for you guys. And when I go live, like when I was there at Trick or Treat, y'all seen some up close and personal of the cars taking off. Well, hell, I'm right there beside it. Something could have flew off and knocked me and my camera phone out of my hand. But
bless. It reminds you of the old radiator cap. Remember a long time ago with the old cars, with the old radiator caps, you pull them off, you couldn't get away in time.
Yeah, it's that steam will get you.
If you wasn't thinking, if you cracked it, you was all right, but if you mess around trying to take it off, you couldn't get away in time. It's just like frying something all in the grease and catches on fire, and you put water on it. You can't get away in time.
Uh-huh.
You know, this stuff is something else. Or this is like gas. The gas just ignites, just explodes. Boom. So, you know, people don't think. They definitely do not pay attention, do not think. You know, sometimes all that good happenings and you think you're doing good, all this and that, well, you're just 1 second away from leaving it. Or 1 second away from getting seriously hurt. 1 second. That's all it takes. You know. That's how quick that happened. Yeah, I tell you, it just don't make sense. You heard any more things from the race down there? Anybody doing the winning or anything? You heard anything?
Not no more than what I told y'all earlier. I seen the people that I know, Trigger Man was winning. Then I think the last race I seen Trigger Man lost. I think he ran. When I seen it, it was three races he had did. Six Mile ran in there with the car called Wesley Snipe. They had choked somebody's neck off. Tate the Great One out of Chicago.
Broke one down there.
Down there or up here?
Down there, I think it was broke one time. Must. They got a straight. You say he won.
Yeah, I think they got it. I think it was broke somewhere else up here.
Maybe.
And then they got it fixed. And he made a hell of a pass the other day. Kanye was driving.
And you said Bobby Cole, you said he just made a test run.
He was making a shakedown. Because wasn't nobody would them.
Yeah.
I see a lot of people on, you know, when they doing the live feed, I see a lot of people that I know. Brandon was down there. Brandon had his car called Coleman Young. Tell me he went up in the air, came down, cracked the oil pan. So, you know, when something like that happened, you're pretty much out of it for the rest of the week.
Yeah, you ain't got nothing else. Yeah. Yeah, that game is something else, I tell you. Like I said, it's a lot of things that, you know, you're going to have to be looking out for this year, because I'll tell you something else, too. There's too many people. I ain't going to say too many, but there's a lot of people that are teamed up. So now when you go out there and, you know, I feel all this because the guys that we have on this show here, I think they're a nice group of guys, honest guys, hardworking guys, you know, and that's one reason why I'm over here. I think all them guys that comes on your show, they're real honest and nice guys. There's a lot of teams out here, and a lot of people are teamed up with people, and they set you up. So be aware of all that. All y'all guys, be aware of that, because a lot of times you might be talking to one person. He's not going to race you anyway. He's setting you up to race somebody else or get information from you. So be aware of a lot of things. I mean, a lot of things you're going to have to be paying attention to. You can't be sleep out here.
Hey.
I'm telling you. Huh?
Hey. Hey, tell y'all.
Yo.
I wouldn't be surprised if Unknown is trying to tell me something.
Well, I might be.
What are you...
I mean, like I said, y'all some nice group of guys. And I think y'all hardworking guys. Y'all honest guys. You're honest about everything you got. I mean, I've been listening to y'all guys for a little bit. And I think all y'all are pretty much honest. But that's something you're going to have to pay attention to. Everybody. Because like I said, it ain't just one person you're going to be dealing with now. You know, you're going to have a lot of other people trying to set you up for the next person. See what you got. Trying to get you to run them, they ain't got no intention to run you. Setting you up to go run somebody else, then throw somebody else on you. There's going to be a bunch of that, trying to find out what you got, you know. And they're going to be teams doing that stuff. And if you don't understand or paying no attention, man, I tell you, you're going to get cracked. You're going to get cracked. And when you get cracked, it's because you're not paying attention. You know, you got to pay attention.
But let them come on with that okey-doke stuff, Unknown. Let them come on with it.
I'm quite sure they've seen a lot. Y'all have seen a lot towards the end of the year, seeing what's out there. Yeah, people might get upset with me, but I be paying attention a lot. And it's good, you know, for us to know things, all of us. Not only just us on this show, but other people too. Because a lot of them be right in the middle of that and don't even pay no attention to what they're doing. Or don't even understand what they're doing. You know, you're tricking your own brother. You know, it's crazy.
Let them come on with that stuff. I don't care. Because,
yeah,
my
I'm
God. I'm going to let them come on with that stuff because, my God, the relationship that me and him have had for years, I trust it. He's gonna look out for me for that trickery stuff. Some stuff you can't stop. But let him come on. And I just trust in him, and let bygones be bygones. Or if I get in a trick bag, I say, oh well, I learned.
Well, just like I used to tell my daughter. It's better for me to tell you than for somebody else to, you know, set you up, you know. So she used to get mad with me, you know, didn't want her to do what she wanted to do. That's where she thought. It wasn't that. It's just that I knew there was a lot of tricks out there, so I was just trying to share with her. I ain't telling her what to be. That's her life. I ain't telling none of y'all what to be. That's y'all life. But I'm just sharing it with you because, you know, like I said, I think y'all are a very good, honest group of guys, I think. Very honest. All of y'all. So, and I think we all should know that. You know, I learned
thank
from y'all.
Thank
you. I got things to share with y'all, too.
Yeah. I thank you, Unknown. I really do. I thank you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hard to find honest people. Very hard. They worked hard for everything they got. They didn't hustle nobody for it. You know, and I think all y'all, you know, work hard for what you got, and that's why you got what you got. I ain't saying that other people didn't work hard for what they got. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying what I have seen from the guys I talk to every Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Well, appreciate you for telling me that, man. And I totally thank you from the bottom of my heart. I don't know about y'all, but y'all got anything else y'all want to talk about or y'all want to close it up? Tell, you got anything else you want to talk about? First Lady, you got something you want to talk about? Brent,
no,
you got
I'm
something
good.
You want to talk about? Brent?
Yeah, I'm good, buddy. I'm just about ready to hit the bed here pretty soon.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Did you you tuck your car in for the winter?
Yep, she's still got 70 pounds of oil pressure.
You got water in your engine?
No, I winterized it.
Oh, you did?
I usually always drain mine out and do it twice with antifreeze and let it run and let it cycle. I leave antifreeze in it for the winter, and then I'll get it out. One of these days I'll have me a heated garage where I can just keep it in there. I got a furnace and all that, but I still got to get some insulation and some drywall hung up. Or some metal or something, you know, out my garage. But that'll be down the road here. I probably won't do it here. I'll be moving somewhere. Build me a barn to
bury them. I was looking at one on the phone when you told me about it. I'm gonna look at them some more. I didn't get a chance to glance at it. But you say you put antifreeze in your engine. Have you ever tried using RV antifreeze?
No, I just use regular antifreeze for cars.
You might want to try that RV antifreeze, man.
Yeah.
What's the name of the owner of CompuCar Nitrous System? Big Ernie recommended us use that RV antifreeze. It's cheaper. It does the same thing, and people put it in their RVs or travel trailers.
Right. I wonder if that's corrosive to the aluminum. No?
I don't know. You got aluminum block in yours?
No, but I got a lot of aluminum. My radiator is aluminum, and all my fittings are stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know.
No, I don't think it would harm me.
You know, like an RV, you know, it's all fiberglass. You know, probably the fiberglass and then the plumbing. You know, but I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it only costs me $7 a year or something. You know, it ain't very much. I buy a whole gallon of it. And see, my car's only got a little bit of water in it. It don't have very much at all. I got my block filled.
Okay. We didn't talk winterizing in the first part of the winter like I normally do.
Yeah.
Teo kind of like told me not to, like, but we don't, they don't have to worry about the winterizing over there. He's sitting there looking at me like, what the hell are y'all talking about winterizing? What the hell? But normally I talk about that winterizing stuff because some people, there's always going to be that one person that forgets. And, oops, he got a crack block for the women because they forgot to get the water out their block and wonder why they freeze plug sitting on the floor in come May. Why is there an extra freeze plug sitting on the floor? Dummy, you've left the water in your block. But up here in Michigan, Teo, Brent, we get a lot of that. Guys forget, or didn't know how to winterize it. Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. I'm getting tired. It's about time we get the heck out of here.
Yep.
All right. Hey, y'all.
Yes, sir.
We're about to get on up out of here, man. I can land two of my hunters in your backyard, man, with no problem. I was gonna land on the roof. You still got the flat roof?
No, you ain't gonna land on this roof, baby. You'll tip one side or the other.
Oh no, I can put some 1432s on one side of the Honda and some 16s on the other. It'll balance
out. It's going to teeter-totter. It'll teeter-totter.
I remember I got emergency brake cable in there. I just pull that emergency brake cable.
Yeah.
It'll hold pretty good.
Pull the chute.
It'll hold pretty good.
Pull the chute so it helps you slow down on the way down.
Yeah. If I fall over there near Chachi's window, she's going to throw a pillow out the window and catch me.
She'll say, Dad, Uncle Shake's doing it again.
he didn't see the landing strip in the backyard. I said, if
the landing lights aren't on, don't land.
I'm going to tell her the Christmas tree threw me off.
Whoa. All right, Shake. Well, listen, I got to run it because we're gonna eat right now. It's still way early here.
Yeah, well, we better get on up out of here, fellas, because I'm sitting here getting sleepy, and I know y'all tired, too. All right, I know we're going to get on out of here, man. I want to thank everybody for calling in on the Shake and Bake Rush talk show. Like I always say, put God first in everything you do and watch and see what happens. He'll be there for you at all times. Trust me and watch what I say. We want to get on up out of here, man. Everybody have a good weekend. What we got coming up next week? Nothing that I can think of. I think that'll be what we got. Let me see. We got one more week before Christmas. There will be a Christmas party, I think, here in Detroit on the 24th. I think Doc James is getting his Christmas party. So All right, we're going to get on up out of here, so I got one more week before the Christmas, and let's see, two more weeks, and then New Year will be here. All right, I want to thank everybody. Appreciate everybody for coming in, calling in. Brother Unknown, you good?
Yes, sir.
All right, we out of here, brother.
Thank you.
All right.